I'm reading Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me.
So now Mike is going to come up and speak to us. And we just pray for Mike. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Mike, that he's here with us this morning. And we just pray, Lord, that as he brings your word to us, you will fill his heart and fill his mind with what you want us to hear. And we just pray, Father, that this message will be a blessing to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, first of all, let me say how good it is to be here. And thank you for your welcome to Caroline and myself. Thanks to Kim, too, for leading us. It's like old times. Kim was our home group leader whilst we were here. It's actually about 2 years since we left here to move near to Leamington Spa to be near our daughter. So to those of you who don't know who I am, I used to belong here. I say, just about 2 years ago we left. Well, this morning, in a sense, I feel redundant. I don't think I really need to say very much, because you've been meditating on the psalm all week, if you've done what Pastor Chris says. So anything I say, you've probably already thought already. Anything I share with you, you've already heard as you read the psalm. So what I want to say to you is feel free to go home. Go and put the kettle on. Psalm 40. I'll just wait for those who want to go home. Psalm 40, deliver me. When I was ministering in Essex some time ago, we had as part of our congregation the chaplain from the local hospice. It's called St. Francis. And he took me round and I saw him at work. A wonderful insight into the amazing work done in our hospices. He said to me, do you know which part of the Bible I use more than any other? And I was trying to think of which words of Jesus might be most helpful, words of comfort and so on. And he said to me, no, it's not the Gospels, it's not that. It's the Psalms. It's the book of Psalms I read from and share from more than anything else. Because here in the Psalms, you see all of human life. The sadness and joy, there's pain and tears. There's hope and hopelessness. There's anger, there's patience. There's faith and doubt. There's life and death. And in the hospice, he said, people find words in the Psalms that resonate with them and their situations. Words that they can use, words they can pray, words that somehow help and comfort. Here in the Psalms are words that are down to earth and gritty and honest and real. Something of that which is of God actually works. So Psalm 40, deliver me. Our grandson, who we live reasonably close to, 5 minutes away, is almost 4 years old. And one of his favourite television programmes used to be Go-Getters. Now, I realise that parents and grandparents may know what Go-Getters is. The rest of you will be totally in ignorance. So let me tell you about this CBeebies programme, where four adventure-seeking superheroes travel around the earth, rescuing people from the baddies and rescuing bad situations, trying to make everything good. And Caspian, our grandson, loves the idea of rescuing, of doing a rescue. Life is framed by rescuing. His dad's a doctor, but Caspian says, my daddy goes to rescue people. And when he comes home, he wants to know how many people he's rescued that day. So Caspian should love Psalm 40, because it's all about a rescue. And if Chris's title, Deliver Me, it was Chris's title, not mine, it sounds a bit too deep for you, a bit out there, well, try this, Psalm 40, rescue me. Because we all need to be rescued. And it's actually not just my grandson that likes the idea of being rescued, because a rescue seems to be a kind of genre of television programs. You may have seen Emergency Rescue, 999 Rescue, Avalanche Rescue. There's a whole lot of these rescue programs on television. From Yorkshire, from Scotland, from America, from Australia, from Canada, there are programs about people being rescued. Lifeboats, coast guards, mountains, helicopters. We all, it seems, like a good rescue. So perhaps there's some mileage in talking about our faith experience as God's rescue operation. And that's what the psalmist does here in Psalm 40. And if the idea of being rescued is something that people get, well, let's talk about our faith in terms of the way which God has rescued us. So let's have our slide on, please, if we can. Psalm 40, deliver me, or as I like to say, rescue me. And when I was reading it, it's interesting that the same verses that Kim shared with us in that reflection are the verses that seem to me to be the guts of this psalm. And the rest flows out of that or just expands it. So although you've heard them before, I say them again. The beginning of Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. And as I see this rescue, let's have the slides on again, please. There are three little words that come out of that for me that seem to encapsulate what this psalm is all about. And those words are these, out of, onto, and into. Rescue is something out of something that's bad, it's onto something that's reliable, and it's into some new future, some new stage in our journey. So let's look at those, and out of, first of all. When you read the psalm, many of the psalms that we read are linked with a particular historical situation that David's had in his life. If you read Psalm 3, for example, it begins after David flees from and fights against his son Absalom. There's the historical context of that particular psalm. But here in Psalm 40, The writer's in dire trouble. It's a desperate situation, but we're not told what it is. Perhaps it was deliberate. Perhaps he didn't tell us what it was, because what matters is how it applies to us. Because many of the situations, as Kim helped us understand, are the situations that we find ourselves in. We get stuck in the mud. We feel as if we're being dragged under. There are times in all of our lives where we think we're going to sink. I'm not somebody who keeps a note of everything that I do and have done. I have no idea how many sermons I've preached. If you ask people, they will give you one answer, too many. Unlike you, I don't remember most of them. But one of the sermons I do remember preaching was on the subject of this: why do bad things happen to good people? I preached it after a particular pastoral situation. And I think I got more feedback from that sermon than almost any others that I preached. Because we struggle with it. Bad things happen to really good people. And it seems wrong and it seems unfair. And if God is God, why does that happen? But it does. And so the prayer, "Rescue me, O God, out of this," will probably apply to almost every person who lives on this planet Earth. You may be praying it this morning, and perhaps nobody else knows that you're praying it, because the situation of your desperate situation, you can't share with anybody else. It's too personal. You may have prayed the "rescue me" prayer in the past, and probably "help me" is the most common prayer that anybody's ever prayed. And if you've never yet prayed it, you probably certainly will in the future. "Get me out of this. Help me. Rescue me, Lord." It's probably the most universally needed prayer. And the psalm repeats it in different words in verse 12. You'll read it again repeated in Psalm 70 for good measure. And although we can't speculate on what David was praying for, what matters is the problem, the situation that you're in now, the trouble that you're in. But actually, this psalm isn't just a prayer praying to God to rescue me. It's a story telling of the fact that the psalmist prayed the prayer and God answered. God did the rescue. And that rescue wasn't just taking him out of a situation, because it was putting him on a rock. The rock that was the opposite to the quicksand that was sucking him down. You know, as Kim pointed out, with quicksand, you can't get a hold. You've got nothing to grip on. You see quicksand in films sometimes. I've never been in that sort of situation, but I have got stuck in the mud. And I love Kim's picture of the muddy boots, because I once got stuck and had to leave my shoe in the mud. And some of you will know what that's like. But it's only a tiny fraction of the real thing. I've never been in danger of losing my life. It's just pretty scary when you've got nothing to hold on to. But real quicksand can be deadly. If you've got a memory, you may remember 2016, when five friends were killed in the quicksand at Canberra Sands, lovely place to go on holiday. You may remember back to 2004, the 21 cockle pickers in Morecambe Bay, illegal trafficked people who got caught in the deadly mud there, sand and water forming this, what the physics people call, a non-Newtonian fluid that you can't get any grip on. But here's how the rescue of God works. This awful mud, this quicksand, this thing that you can't get out of, sometimes God just takes you out of it. He takes the whole thing away altogether. Sometimes he changes the situation. Sometimes he brings somebody else in to help us. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it's incredibly slow. Sometimes God works in a predictable way. Sometimes it's miraculous and totally unexpected. But God takes us from that quicksand. He takes us out of. And the thing you need to hear this morning is that it doesn't last forever. And even though the time hasn't yet come, the promise is he will take us out of. He will take us out of. But then the second word I wanted to focus on, let's have the slide on again, is onto. Onto a firm footing, onto a rock. And that's the second promise, that he will not only take us out of, he will take us onto that firm footing, that rising up of faith and trust and belief, that new confidence in things that we can't see. That new assurance of things that we've believed in the past and it comes to be real again. That wave of hope and certainty that all will be well. He puts our feet on a rock. Oh, it's a common theme in the Bible. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. And through the Psalms, we get my rock and my salvation, my rock and my deliverance, my rock and my protection. And Jesus himself teaches about the man who built his house on a rock. So the rock makes you feel safe. It's a firm foundation. It's not slippery. It's not unstable. The rock is solid and strong and unchanging. Do you know, sometimes we hear people say about somebody who's helped them, you're my rock. We had the U2 song earlier. Beyonce sang a song, didn't she? You're my rock. And I learned that you can buy from Amazon and probably from other places as well, a gift set called You're My Rock. And it features a large pebble from the beach with the words You Are My Rock written on it, beautifully set in a wooden box, with a heart on the front saying, together we are rock solid. And that's in a sense what the psalm writer wanted to say to God. You're my rock, and together we are rock solid. And because of God, all will be well. That was one of the great sayings of the mystic Julian of Norwich. All shall be well, she said, and all manner of things will be well. And those of you who remember the hymns that we used to sing in the old days may remember a hymn from the Baptist hymn book. Through the love of God our Saviour, all will be well. So this psalm is a testimony. This is what God has done for me. All was not well, but all is well now. Life was awful. I cried. I called out to God. The situation was terrible, but God heard me. He pulled me out of the thing that was dragging me down. He put me onto something that was firm and secure and reliable. He's changed me so that it's no longer sand around me, but it's rock. He's rescued me. And the psalm encourages us to share our rescue experience with others, to tell those who are already believers to encourage them, to tell those who are not yet believers to help them on their journey to faith. In the assembly of your people, Lord, I told the good news that you save us. You know I will never stop telling it. I've not kept the news of salvation to myself. I've always spoken of your faithfulness and help. In the assembly of your people, I have not been silent about your loyalty and your constant love. It's a very personal story. This is about what God's done for me, what God's done for us. About my situation, my unique situation, my circumstances, about how it could have been a total disaster and wipeout, but God rescued me. Which is why a lot of the psalm, beyond those verses that we've been concentrating on this morning, a lot of the psalm is saying thank you to God. Thank you for what God's done. It's thanksgiving, it's praise, as we've tried to reflect in the worship that Kim led for us. Thank you to God for us to hear, to encourage, to inspire, to strengthen our faith. But now let's look at the third of my words. Out of, onto, and into. I don't know how many of you who are readers have read a trilogy. Three books in a series. You need to get three to get the whole story. It's the same with a television program in three parts. And some people only do parts one and two, and they never get on to part three. And somehow they miss out. They miss out part of the story. They don't get the whole. They only get the beginning. And I think that's what happens with this psalm. People get the rescue bit out of the pit, out of the mud, out of the mire, out of the quicksand. They get the rescue bit onto a rock. But they miss out on part three, the into. The God who takes us out of, the God who puts us onto, then puts something into us. It's his gift that comes in. Here it's described as he puts a new song into our mouths, into our hearts. In other places we read that he puts new strength into us, new hope into us, even the gift of the Spirit he puts into us. So the psalm is about something that God gives and puts inside us. Elsewhere in the psalm, we read about how God puts his mercy into us, how God puts his love into us. And you know, at those moments when you're filled with gratitude, when you feel thanksgiving rising up inside you, when you feel you just want to say thank you and to praise, that's not just you. That's not just your character. It's not just your chemistry. That gratitude is a gift from God. He's given it to you. He's put it inside you. And in this psalm, that gratitude is something that is a gift from God. He's given me a new song to sing. And it's something that is both personal and shared with others. There's a lot of me and my in this because it's a personal story. But it's also about sharing it in the congregation, in the assembly, the gathering, the worshipping community. Because we're bigger than just ourselves. We're part of God's family. Our minister said the other day to us, you know, you're just one piece of a ginormous jigsaw. One tiny piece of this massive jigsaw. You belong to something much bigger than you. So as well as saying this morning, God, what do you want to take us out of? Let's also ask, Lord, what do you want to put into us today? What do you want to put into me? Do you want to put a new song into me? Do you want to give me renewed thanksgiving and gratitude? Because, you know, this is not just about what we can give to God. It's about what we take in, what we receive from the Lord. The new songs, the new hope that he puts into our hearts, the new fire that he breathes into us. Because the story of the Bible is the story of God giving gifts to his people. The very first people on the planet, God breathed his breath of life into them. The prophet Ezekiel saw God breathing life into old bones that came alive. Jesus breathed onto his disciples, "Peace be with you," he said, as they received his spirit. And so there's so much in the scriptures about what God wants to put in us, what he wants to give to us. Us, like those tired, anxious disciples, we need to have something into as well as being taken out of. And what God puts into us is perfectly tailored to who we are. At the end of the psalm the beginning of the psalm, it's a song of thanks, a new song. But at the beginning of the psalm also, it's patience. I waited patiently for the Lord. It's about those times when nothing seems to be happening. About those times when we just have to hold and hang on and hope and believe. And somehow keep going and not sink. And at that moment, God puts patience into us. The gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is patience. The ability to keep on hoping, keep on trusting, keep on hanging on, keep on waiting. And patience that God puts into us in verse 1 is just as real as the thanksgiving he puts into us in verse 3. So it's into, and our worship is not just about what we give to God. It's about receiving what God wants to give to us. And you know, worship that is all giving and no receiving is a pale shadow of what worship is meant to be. And similarly, worship that's all about us getting and not giving anything is also not where worship should be. So I'm going to ask, how do I sum up this psalm? And I sum up this psalm by thinking about knitting. Yes, if you've been investing your time in this psalm, I wonder whether you've thought about knitting. I don't know whether you knit. I don't know whether you live with somebody who knits. I don't know whether you can remember your mother knitting. I think if you've never seen anybody knit, you've missed out on one of the great pleasures of life. And the knitting I'm thinking about is not just ordinary knitting, but knitting with two colours, as you'll see on that picture that's there on the screen. Two colours that are woven together in a pattern that is made up of them both. Maybe you've got a jumper, maybe your child's got a cardigan. There's a two-coloured knitted garment. And the two colours I see in this psalm are thanksgiving and prayer. Thanksgiving for God's rescue and prayer that God will continue to rescue me. That God will go on and on doing that rescuing. So the psalm started, as we looked at it, with thanksgiving. God has rescued. He's rescued me out of the quicksand. He's rescued me onto the rock. He's rescued me into a new experience in my heart and soul of thanksgiving and gratitude and love. But then as you go on in the psalm, you know that you need to be rescued again and again. You're not rescued just once, rescued again and again and again. So I'm going to end with that last verse of the psalm, where the psalm writer, who knew that God was a rescuing God, prays once more. As for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer, or my rescuer. You are my God. Do not delay. Let's pray together for a moment. God, we thank you that you are a God who rescues. And Lord God, we maybe are able to look back and see times when you've rescued us out of situations that were pretty dire. They may not have been deadly quicksand, but they were rough for us. And we thank you that you've rescued us. Maybe they were absolutely awful and we didn't think we'd ever get out, and you've rescued us. And we thank you, Lord, that you put our feet onto a rock. And you thank you, Lord, for that which is steady and stable and firm and not wobbly. And we thank you, Lord, that you put new things into our hearts, our soul, into us, Lord, that come from you, your gifts to us. So thank you, Lord, but we pray that you go on rescuing us. Because, Lord, the stuff going on that we need to be rescued from today, and the things that we've got to face this week that we need your hand and steadying hand to help us with. So whilst we thank you for what you have done, we pray that you would continue to rescue us as we face our lives and the challenges of living in this world. Lord God, rescue us. Rescue those we love. Rescue this world, Lord, with all its disasters and terrors. Lord God, rescue us and put our feet on that rock, we pray once again, as we thank you and praise you for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, thanks so much, Mike. Thank goodness none of us went to put the kettle on, because we would have missed an amazing message there, wouldn't we?